This is your tech news briefing for Monday, November 23rd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. More and more, automakers are churning out connected cars, vehicles that have a connection to the internet to help drivers do things like listen to music, look at maps, and even call for help when you get in an accident. That same tech also allows automakers to send through software updates and collect data about how you use your car. General Motors is going one step further. The company is launching a car insurance business that would adjust your rate based on data about how safely you drive. Our reporter Mike Colias will join us to discuss the details and why you'll likely be seeing more of this soon. That's after these headlines. For tech companies, doing business in China is a tricky proposition. The country is an enormous market and a lucrative one, but it's also been criticized on both human rights and data privacy grounds. We report that at Airbnb, the issue of how to operate in China has sometimes sparked debate among the company's senior leadership. People familiar with the matter say concerns about Airbnb's data practices in China led one executive, Sean Joyce, to leave the company late last year after just 6 months on the job. Joyce was a former deputy director of the FBI and had come to Airbnb as its first chief trust officer, a role that entails protecting users' safety on the platform. Here's our reporter Dustin Volz with more.
So Mr. Joyce's concerns about China were really twofold. First of all, he felt as though the company wasn't being fully transparent or transparent enough with its consumers about the data that it was sharing with Chinese authorities. And the second concern was that China was asking for even more expansive requests of the type of data that they wanted from the company. A specific example of this was when Airbnb received what we were told by our sources to be an unwritten request for so-called real-time data that would have been shared with the authorities immediately upon booking a Airbnb location in China. This differed from the existing policy and what we understand the policy to be at major hotel chains, which is not sharing that data until actual check-in. And so Mr. Joyce, a former deputy director of the FBI who did a lot of national security and counterintelligence work and so forth, was deeply concerned about how that type of data could be used by various Chinese intelligence agencies to potentially surveil Airbnb customers. So that unwritten request, which I should note, our reporting did not establish that Airbnb actually complied with that or went through with that. And in fact, the company told us that they did not. But that request and a concern that it was being at least entertained was, our understanding, a serious reason why Mr. Joyce decided to leave the company so soon after joining.
Joyce told the Wall Street Journal that he had a, quote, difference in values with Airbnb. He declined to comment further. The Journal's reporting found that Joyce made his concerns clear to other top executives at Airbnb, including at a meeting in the summer of 2019 that included the company's co-founders and a number of other executives. Dustin says the incident highlights tensions between the public and private sectors on how to do business in China.
The thing that stuck out to us that we heard from a number of different sources was that at one point, Mr. Joyce was told by one of the co-founders at Airbnb, we're not here to promote American values. And that is something that, you know, you talk to national security officials in Washington, D.C. about. They have a very different perspective than Silicon Valley. And this is sort of just a flashpoint between the two coasts going on for years now about how to handle their business in China. And there are very divergent views on sort of what should be acceptable in terms of doing business in China. And when issues of U.S. national security and American values, as it was termed in this meeting, should maybe come up and be more of a consideration for these companies.
All right, after the break, how GM is planning to use data from its vehicle's OnStar connected car service to determine how much you should pay for car insurance. That's next. Have a car made by General Motors, you're probably familiar with the company's OnStar service. It's a safety and security feature that can help call emergency services if you get in an accident or locate your car if it's been stolen. And now, GM plans to use it to help figure out how much your car insurance should cost. The company says it'll start offering OnStar-branded insurance plans. And for customers that opt in, OnStar will track their behavior behind the wheel and reward better driving with cheaper rates. For more on this, we turn to our reporter Mike Colias. Mike, thanks for being here.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right. So tell us about this new insurance from GM. How does it work?
I think what you're seeing now is, you know, insurance companies for a long time now have been using actual driving data from individual policyholders. So they sort of grade how they drive, you know, if they stay in the speed limit. And GM sees an opportunity now, and I think other car makers do, because a lot of cars sold today now are connected. That means they've got an internet connection where the car company can actually pull data from the car. And so this is one of the uses that they see, is being able to monetize this. What we've seen up till now, for years now, we've seen car companies sell this data to insurance companies, and then they use that to base rates and to offer their policyholders discounts for good driving. GM's taking that a step further and actually offering their own insurance plan that they say will, you know, reflect better how people drive and, you know, reward them with cheaper rates.
So sort of cutting out the middleman.
Yeah, that's right. And I think they are working with a third party insurer to underwrite these policies, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. But really, it's really a tech play, connected car data play on GM's part. You know, it's running this through its OnStar multimedia system in the car, which is kind of a safety and security thing anyway. So it knows when you get in an accident. I mean, that's one of its primary purposes, is to sort of notify emergency people. And you know, they can pick up that process from there and connect you to a dealership, you know, make an appointment for you at a dealership, you know, the next day. We can order parts from you. We can get the service set up. I mean, so GM sort of billing this as, you know, we can kind of take you from the beginning to the end of the process in a way that an insurance company can't.
And can you talk more about what kind of data they're actually pulling?
Yeah, this is really interesting. I mean, we've heard car executives for a long time now talk about all this data that's going to be coming from these connected cars. And as the connections improve and as we get to 5G, there's going to be so many opportunities for them to add services and to monetize that data. And I think they are doing that, you know, internally. They can use this information to, you know, for example, like if you have heated seats in the rear seat and they find out, well, gee, those are only used like 2% of the time, so maybe we don't need to offer those on the next model. You know, they use it for stuff like that. I think they've struggled to use it for things like services in the car, you know, help you find parking or help you order your coffee from Starbucks, because we all have smartphones in our pockets and we'd rather use that instead of trying to tap through the touchscreen in your car. And so the trick for the car companies is, what data can we use that the Googles and Apples of the world don't already have? And so insurance is kind of the first realm of the car companies trying to do that and use data that is proprietary to them that the tech companies and other third parties can't get their hands on.
So what could all of this mean for the consumer?
GM is making the case that this is a more fair way to set your insurance rate. Today, the insurance companies tend to rely on some, you know, seemingly arbitrary variables to base rates. Your zip code would be one, even credit history, you know, demographic things about you that may or may not mean anything as to whether or not you're going to be a good driver. And so what GM's saying is, why not use the data straight from the car so we can see, number one, how good a driver this person is. We also know what safety gear is on this car and what's being deployed. I mean, for example, there's a lot more active safety stuff on cars today, emergency braking, things like that. The car company can know like how often those things are being deployed. And so they're making the case, this is a fairer way to base your insurance rate, because we know how you're driving. We know what your car is going to do in a certain situation. This is the way you should be setting your insurance policy.
On the flip side, though, is there any concern about data privacy?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously been, you know, the tech companies have undergone a ton of scrutiny on this point, of course. You know, I think the more widespread some of these insurance plans from the car companies become, that's, you know, that's something that people are going to raise. You know, GM and other automakers will say, you know, you have to opt in. If you don't, we don't touch your data.
Got it. So as you mentioned, GM is not the only car maker to sort of make this play. Why the push towards this type of insurance?
No, that's right. I mean, this usage-based insurance is the term for it. I mean, all the car companies are dabbling in this in one form or another. It's a way for them to get a little bit of incremental revenue from the data in the car. Now, the next step for them is really to build on that and offer their own services, either through the multimedia touchscreen in the car or to sell the data to third parties. That's another frontier that they really haven't even scratched the surface on yet. So you're seeing all the company, you know, the car companies want to evolve from being just, you know, metal benders, right? Manufacturing stuff, to actually having services that they can get recurring revenue from. You know, historically, car companies have sold a car and then crossed their fingers that in 3 or 5 or 7 years, that customer comes back and buys another car. And you'll get some service visits, but generally that money goes to the dealership. So the car company wants to be more involved, you know, in sort of your day-to-day life. We want to have a stickier relationship with the customer. And so I think that an insurance policy, and to the extent that they can build out some other subscription services around their data and the things they're able to offer inside the car, it becomes a loyalty play and it becomes incremental revenue for the car companies that a possibility they didn't have a few years ago.
All right. Our reporter, Mike Colias, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.